Now, a lot's been made of an interview that Gerry Adams did in one of the German newspapers, Der Spiegel, which is the mirror across in Germany. And in a wide-ranging interview, apparently Gerry Adams was asked about the troubles, the current political deadlock in Northern Ireland, and his aspirations for a united Ireland. One of the questions, is violence a legitimate means with which to reach one's aims? And he said, I think in given circumstances, and the circumstances at that time in the north were that people were being denied their rights, he said. The English occupiers refused to concede those and in fact attacked the demonstrators. The most disastrous mistake that the English made was they handed the situation over to the generals. That always leads to a militarization of the situation. Military people are not there to pacify. They are there to subrogate. And indeed, in the interview, he denied ever shooting at anyone during the Troubles, but he said he joined Sinn Féin after reading that the British government had planned for Ireland as part of the Special Powers Act. He was fully against that. He says, I woke up one morning with the British Army. They were there. They were in occupation at the local school, the local football pitch, the local social centre. The roadblocks were up. They were stopping you. They were throwing you against the wall. They were arresting you, they were molesting women, so on and so forth. That's just a part of the interview with Der Spiegel, the German magazine, on the 20th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. So Gerry Adams believing that violence is justified in certain circumstances, and those circumstances were relevant from 1969 roughly onwards to the time of settlement. Let me speak to a man who's written quite a bit about Gerry Adams down the years, Malachy O'Doherty. Malachy,
good morning, Frank.
Good morning to you. I presume no real surprise in what Gerry Adams is saying.
Not really. He's said it many times before. He's written it in virtually all of his books. It is the position he takes. It would be remarkable if he'd changed his mind on this point and said, we were wrong, or that violence hadn't been justified. In that sense, there's nothing remarkable about it. But it does open up that question again of what is it that legitimates violence, and for whom is it made legitimate? And none of that has ever really gone into with Gerry. I mean, the assumption is, Gerry takes the view that the IRA was a democratic people's army, and that the people wanted the IRA to fight this campaign against the Brits, and it was a war, and that's all a very, very superficial reading of things, and really loses a sense of what the Troubles were like and how things were done. If Gerry Adams says, that in certain circumstances you have the right to take up arms against the state when your rights are denied, I think, most of the United States seems to believe that. That is not the point about their right to bear arms, that they can counter the state. What's the organization that gets this right? Who gets to decide who kills who? For instance, I'm now an old age pensioner, and I am faced with the erosion of the state pension. I would say that the state has progressively pilfered money from pensioners in Northern Ireland. So does that entitle me to go out and shoot a police officer? If you follow the logic of what the provisional IRA did, does it entitle me to go and bomb a pub or bomb a bus station? These are the sort of things that were done. Or does that right only go to an organisation? Would it be AGNI that would have the right to take up arms for pensioners, because their rights are eroded? Adams believed more than the right to bear arms. He believed that the provisional IRA was the legitimate army of Ireland, and therefore it had a prior legitimate right to take up arms. And when other organizations took up arms, or it's a very grandiose way of describing people shooting policemen and soldiers and stuff, but when, for instance, the official IRA were involved, when the Catholic Ex-Servicemen's Association set up and gathered weapons to defend Catholic areas, the provisionals moved against those. They contested the legitimacy of others to have weapons and to engage in an armed struggle or a defensive operations, So he's saying an awful lot more than that, people have a legitimate right to bear arms. his actual experience, the outworking of what he did, says that he believed that the Provisional IRA alone had this right, and that that is a legitimacy that they inherited, I suppose, from the men of 1916.
Martin is saying here on a text, the IRA took up arms against the generals. Yes, exclamation mark. They took up arms against the ordinary people who were out shopping.
That's right, they did, yeah. I mean, I was reading a tweet by, I think, with Danny Morrison the other day saying, you know, what the IRA did is insignificant compared to what the British and Americans have done in the Middle East. You know, you could similarly say that what Peter Sutcliffe, the Yorkshire Ripper, did was insignificant compared to what the IRA and other paramilitaries did, because they killed more women than Peter Sutcliffe did. You know, what the IRA did, I mean, I hear this again and again. Even Paddy Keelty, in that a wonderful documentary that he did the other night, you know, he used a phrasing which suggested that, you know, the war started and the IRA and the British Army get stuck into each other. That's not at all what it was, you know, and it's very, very lazy speaking to even talk of it as a war. It was essentially
let me interrupt you for a second, because who was it that said that on Patrick Keelty's programme, the war started and the two of them got stuck into each other?
I'm paraphrasing lines that Paddy himself used at the beginning of the documentary.
But did he give that impression? Did he give that impression to the... Because this was to an international audience.
Oh, no, this
audience.
Is entirely against us. You know, I mean, the whole context of the documentary was a very fine look at the whole thing. I'm just saying that as a kind of an aside in which he wanted to wrap up the whole thing and move on, he used language which implied that this was... that this was basically a contest between the British Army and the IRA. I mean, we know that as the story unfolded, as he told it, it was about the shooting of his father, and it was about the other paramilitary activities and his meetings with the loyalists and with other victims and with the woman from Sinn Féin and so on. So, no, I'm not saying that he saw it that way. I'm only saying that in an aside which he kind of lightly referred to it in that way. And that, to me, is indicative of the way in which people don't really scrutinise the detail of what happened and don't see that this was not a war. This was a protest movement. It was when the IRA was shooting a policeman or bombing a pub or bombing a furniture store, they were doing it in the same spirit in which somebody protesting against the housing executive might put a rat through a letterbox or something. You know, it was never war in the sense of a contest of strength. It was never a war in the sense of, you know, we will use our physical force against your physical force and defeat you. It was never that at all. I mean, it was, you know, by some other Republican rationale, it was defense. It wasn't defense either. It was endangerment of the people. But, I mean, essentially, the point I'm making is that Gerry Adams sees the legitimacy of the IRA campaign as being peculiar to the IRA. He denied that legitimacy to others, so he doesn't really believe what he's saying. He's really quite fatuous and superficial in the way in which he talks about a legitimate right to bear arms, because he describes something as a war which wasn't a war, and he never really extended that right to bear arms to others.
And to fast forward right to practically the present day, to this weekend, Gerry Adams, of course, arguing, and even arguing in this German publication, that he wasn't in the IRA, but Kevin Campbell was in the IRA, and Kevin Campbell was attacked over the weekend. He's a former mayor of Derry. He spent, I think, about 14 years in prison, and his car was attacked, and there was a vigil in support of him led by Sinn Féin over the weekend. People in Craigan disgusted with the attack on Kevin Campbell, being seen very much as a community man there. Now, does Sinn Féin have a specific problem at this moment in time in some parts of Derry?
The dissident Republicans have always been stronger in Derry than other parts of Northern Ireland, and we saw, they're fairly active in Lurgan as well, and we saw over Easter the rioting and the petrol bombing in Derry and the scuffles in Lurgan. I think, Gerry Adams almost makes that problem for himself when he says, you know, that there are others of a, you know, that there is a legitimate right to bear arms when your rights are denied. How does he argue with the dissident Republicans that they don't have the right to do what they do? His only argument against them is, look, the people of Ireland have had a democratic vote on the Good Friday Agreement, and they've chosen to put armed struggle behind them and move on. But, you know, the democratic argument didn't work against him when the IRA was active in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. You know, if you had put it to Gerry Adams, look, you people have no democratic mandate to be out there shooting people and kneecapping kids and setting fire to department stores and so on and clogging up Christmas with bomb scares. If you put it to him that you've no right to do that because the people don't want it, he would have said this has nothing to do with democracy. He would have said, you know, we are a people's army and the people want us, and we know that because they open their doors for us and let us sleep in their beds at night. You know, but he would not have accepted that, you know, how the people voted in elections, voting routinely for the SDLP over Sinn Féin, who were opposing, as the SDLP was opposing the IRA. You know, he would have discounted that as of any relevance to whether the IRA had a right to pursue its campaign. And yet, the only argument that he now has against the dissident Republicans, if he's talking the way in which he is now in Germany, is to say, you know, the people of Ireland have democratically decided that there should not be a war.
There is no doubt, however, and it's following through into what you're saying there is no doubt that the political support in the Craigan area is for the likes of Kevin Campbell. It is for the likes of Gerry Adams.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, isn't that ironic, you know, that they are now in the position that the SDLP was in during the IRA campaign, when people like Joe Hendon and Alvin McGuinness were having bombs on their doorsteps, you know? You would like to think that at some stage people within the Sinn Féin movement will start to rethink how things were in the past and see these anomalies, see the contradictions in their own position, and not go on glorifying the past and talking it up as if it was a legitimate war which achieved anything of any particular value.
Interesting commentary as always, Malachy. Thanks for coming on. Thank you. Thank you. By the way, Malachy, there's a couple of texts there. There are a couple of texts. We made reference to it before. Your most recent book on Gerry Adams is called?
An Unauthorised Life. Gerry Adams, An Unauthorised Life.
Okay.
Out in paperback in the summer.
A couple of people asking about that.
Lovely. Thank you very much for the plug.
Thanks. Not a bother. We provide the service. People ask. People will be told. Right. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Good morning to you. 90-333-105. 077-66-105. 105. Good morning to you. 90-333-105. A lot of you reacting on the texts and the emails. You can give us a ring. 028-90-333-105. Just on the back of what Malachy O'Doherty was saying to us following that interview Gerry Adams did with Der Spiegel in Germany. Sinn Féin have sent us a statement. They say there is no political party in Ireland which hasn't supported the use of armed action as a legitimate response in given circumstances. Each year, political parties across Ireland commemorate the Easter Rising and the Tan War. Others commemorate the armed actions of 1690, loyalist mutinies against the British government, and the partition of Ireland against the democratic wishes of the Irish people, world wars and British imperialist wars of aggression which continue right across the globe. Conflict, regrettably, is part of our past given the actions of the British Army, Unionists and Republicans over centuries, but Sinn Féin is committed to work to ensure that conflict remains in the past. Sinn Féin have stood up to those who threaten the hard-won peace process, and only this weekend a Sinn Féin councillor's car was destroyed outside his home. That's the one we were referring to there when we were talking about Kevin Campbell up in Derry. Your opinions, as I say, very welcome. 028-90-333-105. 028-90-333-105. Let me say good morning to Teresa, who's sending us through some comments. She says, I couldn't agree more with what has been said by your contributor, Malachy O'Doherty. His analysis, indeed, of Gerry Adams and Gerry Adams' contribution to the history here is on the money. Peter is saying, for goodness sake, Frank, why are we spotlighting Gerry Adams? It's no surprise that international magazines would want to interview him. He's saying nothing different than he's ever said before. And even Malachy O'Doherty Rafferty has pointed out that Mr. Adams has made these comments in books that he has published. Also on the programme this morning, a reference from Jen, listening to the show as well. Frank, Gerry Adams is Gerry Adams. Let's move on. He is a figure from the past, not the present. Well, I think actually if you feel Gerry Adams is a figure from the past and not the present, you're not really looking at it accurately. He may be stepping down from the Dáil at the next Irish general election. He may have handed over the reins to Mary Lou in Sinn Féin, but to see him as a player from the past and not the present, I think would be overstepping the mark, Jen, to be honest. Right, your opinions, I say, are very welcome. 02890 333 105. 02890 333 105. 077 66 105 105.